there. First, I want to say thank you very much to all of the readers and all of you for coming tonight, and for Katya for being such a lovely hostess. So thank you. Our poster said poetry and prose, and there's been some prose poetry, and I'm going to just read a little bit of straight-up prose for you. I'm working on a novel right now, so I haven't been writing very many poems, and this is part of the novel. It's when we'll just talk about death and animals tonight, okay? So this is when one of my major characters dies, and I also have a poem about a dead dog that I'll read later as well. I promise. Okay. Rose was playing soccer, and oh, what a kick! What a soar! What a sail! What a fly over the clouds, up and over above it all. Thick white fluff like Mama's marshmallow salad. What a day! Standing tall in her green soccer socks pulled up tight to her knees. Here! Over here! The one with the red braids the boys are beginning to pull. The girl who looks strong and fast in her green and yellow t-shirt, in her shiny soccer shorts. Look at those tiny blonde hairs on her tanned arms. Look at the freckles on her nose. Her sharp green eyes taking it all in. The field and the light from the sun and the smell of the freshly mown grass. And now she's gone. The rest of them still planted firm on the earth's soft grasses and not grateful enough for a moment of it. None of them enjoying the air, how it feels to breathe, what it means to ache slightly in the hip, or scratch absently at an itch, or feel their eardrums throbbing from music loud in their headphones. All those great bands Keir would play for her when he was home, the White Album, Lou Reed, the Brubeck Quartet. Nobody buys ice cream enough. Oh, strawberry, just to have one frozen strawberry. Nobody lies down on their backs and looks at the shapes of clouds enough. Nobody writes home enough. Letters with real stationery and pens and sincerely and yours truly and love. And she died right before summer holidays, right on June 19th, 1971. What a dumb day to die on. 3 sleeps from summer vacation and hanging out at the pool with her friends and having the tip of her nose burn the way it did. If only she could have died on September 1st and had one more summer, had a chance to wear her new red bathing suit. If only she could have had the feeling of the sun on her shoulders at her suit straps one last time, the taste of warm lemonade out of her tartan thermos. Salmon sandwiches, how Lucy, her mom, makes them on thick brown bread with English salad dressing. Old Dutch salt and vinegar potato chips in those little silver bags. But oh, what a kick! What a beautiful, perfect kick! The ball hitting the side arch of her foot perfectly. Her muscles so strong, kicking like that, pushing under the ball a little bit, and up and up and up it flew to the sky. Her t-shirt sweaty from all that running and all that kicking, her throat a little sore from shouting at her teammates, "Natalie, hey Nat, go left!" Or, "Jill, Jill, over here, I'm open!" And then that perfect kick, up and up and up, and all of the teams at PE just standing there, looking towards the sun, the ball still going, higher and higher and higher. And Rose, standing there too, and feeling her heart so big in her chest, so full and thumping against each rib, so expansive like the green field. And then an eclipse of sorts, the black and white circle of the soccer ball covering the sun. And Rose, face down on the earth of that field, each perfect blade of grass, each tiny beetle and little black ant in the blades of it, that rich smell of mud and dirt and grass-stained shirts. And then that last deep gulping breath and all those smells and her classmates yelling at each other and the teacher's whistle and the light of the sun so faint now, off in that distance. Okay. I promised my roommate Andrew that I would. Well, he didn't know this before tonight, but I'm dedicating this poem to my roommate Andrew. He's my old roommate. We don't live together anymore. But okay. Last year, I saw this contest with the Poetry Institute of Canada, and I'm sure it's a lovely organization. There's nothing wrong with this organization at all. You enter these contests for free, and you have the opportunity to win money. Who doesn't like that, right? But then the trick is that they charge you $50 for the book that your poem appears in. And I personally had never fallen for this kind of thing before, so this was a first for me. And I was kind of psyched. I was like, the Poetry Institute of Canada, that sounds so impressive. And so I left the sheet of paper on the kitchen table with the instructions to mail in your poem and all this kind of stuff. And I sent something and I kind of forgotten about it. And Andrew, my roommate, who's a mathematician and a computer scientist, not that that's not wonderful too, was like, hey, Heather, guess what? My poem got accepted into this anthology. And I was like, oh, that's really good. Cool. Because I hadn't heard back yet. And I was like, oh my god, my poems suck. My mathematician, computer scientist, roommate got a poem and I did it. It was one of those crises. But then, today, to conclude this wonderful story, after receiving numerous mail information pieces from this lovely organization, I received an award. It is the Poetry Institute of Canada 2005-2006 Canadian National Poetry Contest Award of Excellence, presented to Heather Jessup in nice cursive font, and then the publisher of the fine anthology, only $50, what's it called? Island Dreams, has also stamped it with his rubber stamp signature here as well. So I'm going to just, you know, you can take a look. I really, and Andrew, particularly. So I thought I would also read tonight from this award-winning poem, just for all of you. I know. Yeah, okay. This is about traveling with someone and getting kind of sick of them. It's called You Could Sleep Anywhere. And do, already in the slip of netting, after the descent into the rainforest, trees making a wash basin of the sky. From the Hotel Torino, I counted 3 church spires, knew the pigeons nesting in the broken bricks, but again, nothing is familiar. Even the sound of the bugs, riotous and terrifying, the smallest winged creatures attest to my insignificance. In the city, we went to where the jazz men breathed like scuba divers into the masks of their instruments. Now, in the palm of the jungle, I am awake under all this altitude and air. The insects so loud, I lay on my heart with a shirt to my ear. If I were to stand at the cabin door, open and letting in the night, they would shroud the netting where you sleep, the moths like flying fists. And I'm going to read 3 poems in a kind of mini series and then I'm done. They're about some children that I know, I guess. This one's called, is Jocelyn here? Is she coming? I'll save this one last just in case she comes in late, which she's known to do, and if not, that's okay, she missed it. Because it's for her. So I'll start with The Farmer's Daughter. Is a philosopher whose zodiac is of unrest, which means she has trouble sleeping at night, so lies down with her dog in the den, gets her to howling. Her father makes a mean pea soup, grew up knowing Heraclitus's proposition, satiation is unknowable without hunger. Her troubles are similar. Reality unknowable without the self. Herself won't sleep. This is Jocelyn coming in late, by the way. Didn't I tell you? I told you! This one's called The Filmmaker's Son. Departs in a fog. Literally. It was hard to see that night. He sends me arguments regarding spiritual death, and I concur over ice fields, but not on the grounds of heliotropes bending their necks towards false revolving lights fashioned to replace the sun. I spend a week in a coffee shop writing him a letter. The barista reflects over the glass-covered cake displays that I should get some sleep. I crumple up all of my counter-arguments. Instead, mail a Valentine. This one is for Jocelyn. It's called The Accountant's Daughter. Brings things that are white but are not snow. Three bunches carnations. Two meringues. Outside, it is beginning to pile up, and there is no adjective. But there is a chocolate cake, a dark moon hunkered on the table, my glasses with their arms crossed. I've been reading about Laika the dog, how Sputnik orbited the Earth for 162 days, and Laika was dead after only 7 minutes. She nods and picks up a pencil, begins working on the unfinished calculations. We travel together, but I won't see her for months. Thank you so much.